Let's pray.
Dear Lord, please open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we're going to be thinking about that story of Lydia, and you'll find that on page 1111 in the Red Bibles. Page 1111 and page 1959 in the Blue Books, in case you want to follow it, because we're going to look a bit about some of the verses before that reading. Now, when we're seeking guidance in our lives, we might ask the advice of someone we consider to be wise. We might ask for the views of a wide range of friends whose opinions we value. We might consult a range of books if we're book people, or carry out research on the internet if we prefer to go online, or a bit of both. If we're Christians, we have the wonderful opportunity of asking God for his guidance, which he gives us through the Holy Spirit. And in the first reading that Pam read to us, we heard how Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to come upon his followers. In the reading that Pam's just read to us from the Acts of the Apostles, we find Paul and his friends in a quandary about what to do next. They've been working in their home country of Turkey, what we now call Turkey, and they've been travelling around to towns and cities, spreading the word of God, telling them about the love of Jesus, and establishing new churches as they went. They were doing God's work, definitely. But the way ahead was not easy to find. They really had to listen to what God wanted them to do, what God was saying to them through the Holy Spirit, in order that they did God's will. Let's consider how Paul and his friends received the Holy Spirit's guidance and learn from these verses how we too can listen to the Holy Spirit. This band of Christian leaders comprised Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And they travelled around a large area of what we now call Turkey, mostly journeying on foot. So that was a huge area to cover. Can you imagine how many hundreds of miles they must have walked? They had a strategy. Their pattern was usually to find a worshipping Jewish community. They were Jews themselves, so they went first to the Jewish community to preach to them the good news of Jesus' love and to invite them to follow him. The Holy Spirit blessed their work, and many people came to follow Jesus and live lives full of the Spirit. But when it came to moving on to the next stage, the most natural thing would have been for this group of Christians to move on further west in Turkey, head on out towards the important city of Ephesus. But when they tried to move, the Holy Spirit prevented them. This comes in these verses before this morning's reading. That when they tried to enter the area of Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go. Now, they thought, and I'm sure we would think, that surely that was a good idea to evangelise more of Turkey. But God had other ideas. Maybe we're in a situation where we really think we're doing God's work and we're following his way, but things don't seem to happen. We actually feel sometimes that we hit opposition. And I don't know whether you've ever walked through treacle, probably not, but it's that sort of analogy of trying to walk through treacle and you feel, actually, I'm not getting very far. You get stuck. We're not told how the Holy Spirit prevented Paul and his friends from moving on. Possibly God spoke to them through a prophecy, through an inner conviction in their minds. One possibility is that illness held them up. Maybe one of them was ill. We know from Paul's letters that he had a recurrent illness or some kind of disability, possibly with his eyes. But we do know from around these verses in this scripture this morning that Luke, a friend of theirs, who was a doctor, joined them about this time. So maybe one or all of them weren't well. We know that because in verse 10, it changes to talking about Paul as about they. It says, we got ready to go at once. So Paul was obviously in the group. Luke was obviously in the group by this time. And Luke wrote up all of this account in the Acts of the Apostles. So that's one possibility, the idea of one commentator that I've read, that maybe it was illness, and that's why Luke joined them. But Paul then had a vision, and that's what we heard this morning, about this man from Macedonia, a province of Greece, calling them to come over and help them. That was a huge turn of events. They had to move from Turkey over the sea to Greece. So from one country right over to another new country, from one continent, Asia, to Europe, from the Eastern world to the Western world. It's an enormous leap, a leap of faith, a leap of culture. God had bigger and better plans than they could have imagined. So let's think about Paul's vision. Visions or dreams can seem a strange way for God to communicate, but we know that he does communicate through dreams and visions, not only through Paul's experience, but also there are other examples in the Bible. For example, let's think of Joseph with the amazing Technicolor dream coat. He had lots of dreams from God. Daniel, Isaiah, Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, and John, the writer of the book of Revelation. And there are some very strange dreams and visions in Revelation. Gosh, that would take, well, years of study, and I don't think we'd ever get to understand all of what Revelation is telling us. Some dreams are very clear, some dreams are very weird. Perhaps I could just share with you a very strange dream I had a while ago, and I haven't really puzzled out what this was about. But I dreamt I was going to Reading. So, you know, normal people would get on a bus or a train or drive to Reading, wouldn't they? But I was crawling on my hands and knees to get to Reading. And instead of going the main roads, I went through a track. I don't know whether you know Dean Hollow in Chilton, quite near the church and Latton Close, going down this track, which would eventually get to Reading because it runs parallel with the Reading Road. But it was along this rough track, past the last house there. And as I crawled along, I could see these buildings starting to rise on the left-hand side. It's a very, very vivid dream. And I thought, oh, that's Reading. So I hope that's not prophetic. I hope that doesn't mean Reading's going to stretch all the way out to Chilton. But when I see high-rise buildings, I often think, oh, that, I wonder if that's Reading. But it's just like that dream. And it was a very crazy dream. And I eventually got to Reading. And very embarrassingly, when I got to my destination, I realised I didn't have any clothes on, you know. I expect we all have those dreams. So now, whether God was speaking to me through that, there might be a message to that, or it could have just been too much cheese or chocolate or something like that. But a very weird dream. But God does speak to us through dreams, so don't let's discount dreams. And sometimes he speaks to us when we're just waking up or something clicks into place. I think we have a different dimension in our brains when we've been asleep, or maybe our brains rested a bit and something just slots into place. So God does work in our minds, even when we're asleep. But Paul and his party listened to God's voice through his dream and sailed to Greece, and they took Luke with them, finally settling in Philippi, a Roman colony. Now, it seems that there wasn't a synagogue, so they couldn't go with their normal strategy of going to the synagogue, because there wasn't one in Philippi, which would mean that there weren't as many as 10 Jewish men there. They had to have a minimum of 10 Jewish men to form a synagogue, and they didn't have that number. So the place of worship was down by the river. And so that's where Paul and his friends went. They went down by the river to find the prayer meeting, and there they found God-fearing people who wanted to know more. And amongst them was this lovely lady, Lydia, who our friends over here are colouring in. And Lydia wasn't Jewish. She was a Gentile woman. But she feared God and she wanted to know more about God. She might have been a wealthy lady, probably, because she was a very savvy business lady. She was at the top end of the market. She was making and selling purple cloth, so that's why we need the purple pens. She was dealing with purple cloth, which was a very rich textured cloth and was usually used for people who were important or in authority or royalty. Now, I'm not wearing purple because I think I'm important or in authority or royal. It's my favourite colour. But I thought it would also just give a visual aid to remind us about Lydia, who was a trader in purple cloth. Our Queen quite often wears purple, doesn't she? And she even had a purple birthday cake, so I thought that was really lovely. But when Lydia heard Paul and his friends speaking about Jesus, God opened her heart again through the work of the Holy Spirit so that she could take in all that God was saying. Now, she was already a prayerful lady seeking God, so her heart was already partly open. She was ready to receive God's word, and so God just gently pushed that door in her heart open further. Maybe her prayers had been part of what had led to that vision of the man from Macedonia. Maybe she and others were thinking, we really need somebody to help us explore our faith more. And that's God sent that man from Macedonia in a vision to Paul. The word which Paul preached took root in Lydia's heart and it flourished. She came to believe in Jesus and invited Paul and his team to her home, where she and her household were baptized. So it wasn't just Lydia, it was her family. She probably had servants and staff. They were all came to faith and were baptized. The church in Philippi came to be established, and it later thrived. Now, in case we think that everything that happened to Paul and his team was positive and good, we need only to look on a few verses on page 1111 or 1959 to read that they hit opposition. And Paul and Silas ended up in prison. But even there, they experienced the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. So we too need to expect opposition when we serve the Lord. We can be assured that the Holy Spirit will also speak to us, as he did to Paul and his team. Jesus has promised us, as we heard, that the Spirit will be with his followers, and he always keeps his promises. As we've seen, he speaks to us as a result of prayer, praying with a heart that is open and available to God. So he speaks through prayer, he speaks through dreams and visions, as we've already thought, not all dreams, but in some dreams. He speaks through the Bible. We've just read our Bibles and read these two accounts in John and Acts. So he speaks to us through his word. He speaks through the preaching and teaching or sharing of faith from Christians who are open and willing to go where God sends them. We don't have to be famous like Paul and his friends, but we need to be open to the Spirit's leading and follow where he goes and learn when he's preventing us from pursuing the way that we think is right. So let's all be encouraged to share our faith with others through the Spirit's prompting. There are many Lydias or Lawrences around. There are men and women, girls and boys, people who are open to hearing the gospel, who receive it gladly, tell others, and draw them into a community of faith. So let's think and pray if there's someone that we can talk to at the school gate, in the sports club, at the hairdressers, in the kitchen at work, at the book club, on the bus or the train, wherever we encounter people. I had a lovely encounter a few days ago with a lady who I'd been praying for, and I met her in the hairdressers. I'd been praying about it, and I thought she might go to the hairdressers, because I know she goes regularly. But of course, God just happens to coincide these things, doesn't he? And I was there to have my hair cut, and she was there to have a hairdo. And so we sat together, and I asked her if I could pray with her then, and she said yes. And so we sat and held hands and prayed in the hairdressers. Nobody took any notice. Nobody was offended. Nobody looked at us as if we were weird. The hair dryers were all blasting away on full blast. People were still talking. But we just shared naturally together and prayed. I was dressed, you'll be happy to know, but I wasn't wearing my plastic ring of confidence here. And what I want to say to you is that I'm quite a timid person, but God enabled me to speak to her, and so God can do that through all of us. We don't have to be wearing a special collar or anything special. Quite a good idea to be wearing something, but to share our faith, we can do very naturally, and God gives us those opportunities through His Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid to just share with somebody else. There's nothing that God can't do through the Holy Spirit's power working in us. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Please accomplish in us today some new work of loving grace, we pray. Unreservedly, have your way. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Amen.